sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Appreciate the prayer. I ask you to pray for me this morning. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to read this morning beginning in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. You read over in Mark chapter 1, I believe it is. From Mark's account of this same calling of James and John and Andrew and Simon or Peter, we read beginning verse 16 of Mark chapter 1. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto him, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And then, if you just bear with me, we'll look over in Luke. Luke is really where my mind has been drawn this morning to the account that's given of this very same occurrence through the eyes of the physician Luke by the inspiration of God. And it's kind of like one of those things where you heard the old account of Paul Harvey when he would always come in with the rest of the story at the end of his discourse or what he would say on the radio. When you read the Gospels, a lot of times you'll read one account in one of the places and you'll read another account and then you'll come into another one and it kind of just gives you the rest. Whether you're reading the two and then come back to the one, it gives you the rest of the story. What we know about the Bible is that we need everything that's in it and all of it, and we don't want anything left out. When we read one of these accounts, it's important for us to get them all to see the best we can, the light of what's given in all of them. I don't pretend for a moment that I'm going to be able to do that in fullness today, but I do pray the Lord would bless us as we look at this to see it. It's an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus Christ could just come up to someone and just in a moment of time, their lives completely change. Just from one statement out of the mouth of the Son of God, a life going in one course turns and goes another course. A mind going in one way turns and goes another way. A heart that's Stony, hard, and cold can become tender and touched by the hand of God. And a life that would be totally without any value becomes a great blessing to the Lord's people and a value to the Lord because of the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of his people. And certainly we see this in the life of Simon, and that is Peter and Andrew and James and John. And these men, these sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, no doubt had a pretty tough existence, or I don't know, they were not men of high education and the light of the world, but they were common men, fishers, living a life there where they made their living day in and day out, going out in the Sea of Galilee and fishing. And Jesus had come to them on this occasion, and we see them with their nets, and he comes and calls them from their nets. He calls them not only from their nets, but from their ships. He not only calls them from their ships, he calls them from their families. And in a moment of time, those who had been fishing all day and really all their life turn and become fishers, but different kinds of fishers. What a difference the Lord made in the life of these men. Luke gives us this account in chapter 5. He says, beginning at verse 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," and that's the same as the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land." Aren't you thankful the Lord saw fit to give us this account that adds a little more than what we read over in Matthew and Mark? Jesus comes to Simon. And Simon, being the one who owned the ship, Andrew we know is here because of Matthew and Mark. Andrew's not mentioned here, but we know he's mentioned in Matthew and Mark, so Andrew is here. Andrew is Simon's brother. Simon, he prayed Simon, or asked Simon, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus, being on the ship, went out from the land. Sometimes we get the idea of preaching that it has to happen in a pulpit, in a church, or has to happen in a particular place. It has to happen while you're standing, or it has to happen when you're in the stand. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught us, our great example taught us, that really every word he spoke was as good as any. Matter of fact, it was always perfect. He preached all the time. I've known some preachers in my lifetime who seemingly preached all the time. They always accused Brother Paul Troutman of preaching to everybody he came in contact with, and whether he was in the pulpit or not, he was preaching. And when he comes out of the pulpit, he didn't stop. He just kept on preaching. If he was pumping gas, he was preaching. If he was riding in a taxi, he was preaching. I hope and pray that, preaching can happen in a lot of places. We were over in Costco the other night and ran into Sister Barbara and Brother Donnie. And next thing you know, Brother Donnie said, "Do you think we ought to have handed, you want to take collection or should I do it?" That's what he said. Evidently, I'd gotten to preaching. Sister Barbara, not being in a church assembly, was doing some back. It wasn't. We know that women are not to teach in the house of God, but there's a lot of sharing of the gospel that ought to happen from mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters, and we've got a message to share in this world. And I want you to know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today, because he knew you in covenant before the foundation of the world, and you've got a message to share with the world, God's little children in this world, that they so desperately need to hear the message of grace. And here, he came to these men. No doubt they got up that morning and they had really gone all night long. They'd been fishing. They'd been fishing all night long. Been out there fishing. And here they are, setting their nets aside and washing their nets and getting ready to close out. No doubt they were like you and I when we work all night long. You know what you're thinking about. Not what I'm thinking about. Thinking about getting some rest. I've been working all day, hadn't been fruitful. And some days are like that, aren't they? Some days you go to work and everything works out fine. Not too many times does it work altogether fine. Most of the time you have some bumps in the ways. But there are some days it seems like it's all bumps. Seems like everything you do goes the wrong way. Everything you try. You even have felt like I'm doing it the way the Lord would have me to do it. But it seems like I run into this direction and I go that direction. And it just turns out real, real bad. And here they were. You can imagine how they might have been as they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And you can say the work of Almighty God is already taking place in the life of this fisher, because he not only was requested to do that, he did it. You see, when the Lord speaks, it's not like me speaking, it's not like you speaking. When he speaks, he's the one who said in the beginning, let there be light. And by the way, he didn't request that. He commanded that. And he said, let there be light, and there was light. Listen, when he made Adam, he didn't have any problem doing that. He took of the dust of the earth, which by the way, he'd also made, and he formed and fashioned Adam, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? I'm telling you, this was the one who was walking and came to Simon and to Andrew and to James and to John, and that's the reason things changed for them, because he came to them. And if he had not come to them, they would have never changed and they would have gone on their way. But something altogether changed in their life. He entered into one of the ships and was Simon's, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Wonder what he taught. Oh, I believe he taught about the kingdom of heaven, don't you? I believe he taught about the wonderful work of grace. I believe he declared the power of his Father. I believe he declared the work of redemption. I believe he preached the gospel. We know that the gospel, according to the book of Hebrews, wasn't first preached by just anyone. It was first preached by Jesus. And then it was given unto the apostles. And then the apostles gave it unto others. And the gospel, if we're truly preaching it today, is the same message, the same truth, the same good news that was declared by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But you know, you've never heard a preacher like Jesus. Preachers, you got to beware of them. You got to watch them. You got to listen. Because sometimes they're maybe right on track, but sometimes they mess up. Even the best of them, even those that you got a lot of confidence in. Listen, they're but men. They put their pants on every day. They eat bread just like anyone else. And they're prone to wander. They're bent for backsliding. And though they would even do good, the Apostle Paul said, even when I would do good, he said, I find evil present with me. And therefore, we are to try the spirits, that is to try the ministers that stand before us, to see what they say, is it of God or is it not? And there isn't but one way you can do that. And that's to get your Bibles out and to study and to look to see, is this what the Word truly teaches? And then be faithful to stand on what it says. And when the preacher says that, it's as good as if the Word, if he's saying it from the Word, it's as good as if you got it straight from the Lord. Because actually, if he said what's good, he did say it from the Lord. And it's the Lord. It's like one little brother I heard about yesterday, and it was a sweet little message. I hope it won't be wrong that I share it with you. I don't think it will. But it was about on a minister. A minister that was preaching, and he preached on the doctrines of grace, and he talked about the salvation of God's people and how that the salvation of God's people was completely in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sounded like a good message to me. And he preached and declared that, and some little sister in the congregation got really upset. Because she said when he preached that, he was saying to her that there was absolutely nothing she had to do with the salvation of her children. That there was not a thing she could do to make them eternally secure for heaven and immortal glory. And he said she came to him and was really upset. Got mad at him for that. And he said, dear sister, all I told you is that you did not have anything to do with their salvation, and that Jesus had everything to do with their salvation. He says, it sounds like you ought to be mad at Jesus rather than me, because that's what he did. And he's the one that took them out of your hands and put them in his hands. And by the way, why would we ever be concerned? Listen, if it's in my hands and in your hands, I'll tell you where your children are today. They're in trouble. Because though you would do everything you could, there's nothing you can do. There's not a thing you can do to touch the heart of your children. You can't go and make those that are dead alive. You can't speak to the dead and make them live. And I would to God that, and am thankful that it's not in my hands, but it's in His hands. And how much better is it that it's in His hands than my hands? And I'm telling you, there was no other person that could have done on this occasion for Simon and Peter, for Peter and Andrew and James and John, what Jesus did for them. And when He came to you, there was no other person that could have done for you what Jesus did. Though there might have been those who wanted to. You know, we'd like to give it to a lot of people, wouldn't we? I'd like for them to see it. I'd like for them to understand it. I'd like for them to believe it. I'd like for them to walk in it. I've seen those He's given life. And I see the evidence of life in them, but I'd like them to understand a little better the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, that they might truly understand their salvation is completely in the Lord. I believe they belong to Him, but I don't believe they're completely trusting in Him, because there's a part of it they want to hold on to themselves. I believe that's kind of the shape that little sister was in when she said, she was concerned about her children. She had a love for the Lord. She had just been mistaught. Somebody had misled her. She was a little child of God. She just had not come to see and understand the truth. But I know this, I can preach that and declare it. If God doesn't open it up and allow her to see it or anyone else to see it, you won't see it. But when God shows it to you, you can't help but see it. Now you can walk contrary to it. You can be rebellious, but you won't do it happily. You'll be like the young rich ruler. You'll go away, but you won't go away happy. You'll go away sad. Brethren, I would to God we would not go away sad today, but that we'd rather hear His truth, and then as much as in us is, we walk in it. He said, He entered into one of the ships, and which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Oh, that would have been something, wouldn't it? Jesus sat down on the ship and taught the people out of the ship. Some people might ask all kinds of questions like, well, what about the sound system? How in the world did that get out there? And how did the voice of Jesus get heard in that crowd? He must have really been loud or boisterous. I'll tell you what, our Savior can speak, and when He speaks, all will hear. And he could be loud, He could be soft. Listen, whichever way He sees fit to do it. I know this: when He spoke, they all heard Him. He wasn't trying to get some message to somebody. Somebody said, the Lord's trying to tell you something. Listen, God's never tried to tell anybody anything. He's told you something. When He speaks, He tells you something. You may not heed it, but He's telling you. It's not Him trying. He's not making an effort. Listen, aren't you thankful today we got a God who doesn't need our help, but we stand in need of His help today. And may He help us live and walk in a way to honor Him. And learn even from this lesson He's given us in His Word. It says, and now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Simon's tired. You know, he's worked. He's fished all night. He's got his net. He's been out there. And let down your nets for a drought. But you know, evidently while he was preaching, and of course evidently in his heart, we know, you know, the Lord spoke audibly, but He speaks in the heart. He works in the hearts of His children. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I don't know when that occurred to dear brother Simon, brother Peter here. But I know this, when Jesus said, launch out into the deep, He didn't argue about it. Or he did express His concern. You know, sometimes when the Lord tells us to do something and it seems like, boy, I've tried that. That just don't work. Have you ever been there? You ever read something in the Bible and you read it and it says it so clearly and so plainly, but you say, I don't know whether that doesn't seem logical. That doesn't seem like, you know, and I don't know. If I do that, somebody's going to take advantage of me. Or if I act this way, somebody's, you know, what's going to happen? Or it really comes down, I'm not going to trust the Lord, because it seems irrational at times to trust in the Lord. And it would be irrational, brethren, to trust in Him if He wasn't there. But it's not irrational to trust in the one who made the heavens and the earth. It's not irrational to trust in the one who has all power. It's not irrational for a Simon to say, is there a reason to go where he tells me to go? Was there a reason? Absolutely. Well, I've been out there. I've been fishing all night. There's no fish out here. We're here. We've been here. We've been there all day. And we got our nets done. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, and that draught means just a bunch of fish. I mean, and he was about to get a bunch of fish. I mean a bunch of fish. You believe the Lord can give you fish when you've been fishing all night and hadn't caught a thing? You believe he can fill your boat? Listen, he can sink your boat with fish. You've been working all day, banging on pipes, or whatever you're banging on, trying to teach young'uns, whatever you're doing. I mean, whatever is called, your calling is in your life, whatever it is, and you get in a situation where you seem like, I'm just toiling, I'm laboring, but it's not working, what do? You look to the Lord, and believe me, the Lord can change. The Lord can open minds that are closed. The Lord can change people. He can change circumstances. He can change situations. And He is with us every day, every moment, every second. He's not only the God one day who's going to take us to glory. He's the God who abides with us every single day, every step of the way in our lives. And I want us to see that today. So we don't go out of here faithless. And we don't walk out like darkness rather than light. And we are not a salt that's lost its savor, that's fit for nothing, that doesn't benefit the dunghill or the earth, but is to fit just to be cast away, good for nothing. No, listen, God's little children with the faith God has given them and the light God has given them are able to go out in this world and shine the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives in such a way that it brings honor and glory to God and makes your life worth living. And without that, listen, you can have everything the world gives you and it won't mean a thing. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, the fellowship that he has with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now we can't eternally. If you belong to the Lord, let me make sure I make this clear. You know, you preach to old Baptists and you know they understand the doctrines of grace and salvation by grace and you have all that, but sometimes we take for granted that they know. I don't want to say you don't know, but I just want to make sure you know. If you belong to the Lord, you're His. And you're His by His choice of you. He chose you in covenant before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 tells us He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. We have in Him the forgiveness of sins. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. It is not our choice of Him, but His choice of us. It is not our predestinating ourselves, but He predestinated us, and He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, and that was according to the good pleasure of His will. It wasn't what we chose, but it's what He did, and if you belong to Him, there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I'll tell you, there are times in the lives of God's children that they sing the song John Newton wrote, "How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see." They sing what John Newton wrote, and we sang it this morning. Hungry and faint and poor. Have you ever felt that in this world? Listen, if I'm the Lord's, He belongs to me because I belong to Him. And I am in this world, though, at times hungry and faint and poor. And I have to cry out unto the Lord, "Behold us, Lord, again." And we're assembled where? At His mercy's door. And what are we here for? His bounty to obtain. I need His manifest presence to remind me of not only who I am, but where my help comes from. Don't you? I need this morning. I hope you do too. I know you need it. I just hope you can hear it. I already know you need it. If you're living and you're breathing air, you need Him. And you need to understand you need Him. And you need to understand He's the one who can cause you to fish all night and catch nothing. Or He's also the one who can bless you to fill. If it's His will, He'll fill your boat in a way that you'll know the only one who could have done that's the Lord. That's what happened to Simon. And his life changed completely because of what the Lord had done. Can you look back in your own life and see those times and places? I hope you can. I hope your life's filled with them. Where the Lord has changed completely. Where would you be today if He had not been there? What would you have done if He had not touched you? You say, "Well, it was a hard time." Yes, but He was there, wasn't He? He was right there. His hands were holding you and helping you and leading you and guiding you. When you would have given up and maybe done something that would even ended your life. Listen, you had a God who had compassed your path. That means he's all around you. Big circle. Just see the Lord as a big circle. He's encircled your life. And his hand was upon you. He says, and now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. A draught, whatever. At Eastern Blue Ridge dialect, AUs and U, any of that, that we mess those up bad. I got a little girl in my room this year that's from Peru, and she knows no English. She's going to have a version of English that maybe nobody else will understand after she learns it from me. I know someday she looks at me like, what are you saying? Sometimes I wonder. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled. There it is, oh, I again. Toiled all night. That means they worked all night long. We've been working. You ever felt like I've been toiling all night? I know, and notice though, he said, Master. Oh, he's got a lot right, even though he's got some things wrong. Brethren, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what you think about it. Doesn't matter how irrational it may seem. It doesn't matter whether you think it'll work or whether it won't work. When the Lord says do it, it's time to get up and do it. When the Lord says move, it's not time to stand still. And when the Lord says stand still, you don't want to go running ahead of him. And when he says wait, you want to wait. But when he says go, you want to go. And though it may not seem like it's going to work, if God says do it, whatever he says, just as Mary told those at the wedding at Cana, he says, whatever he says, do it. I'm saying to you this day, whatever he says, you do it. Sometimes we say, well, where has he said anything to me? But this book is filled with his word to you as his children. You say, I don't know whether it's written to me. Listen, do you want it to be written to you? That's a pretty good evidence that it's yours. Because the world doesn't want it. They don't want his book. They don't want him. They don't love him. They have no desire for his word. They don't want his instruction, his direction. Do you want his direction for your life? Do you need him? Do you understand what Simon said? Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. Because he realized, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but he realized that I'm not worthy of your presence. Once he really saw who he was, he knew something about him. He said, this man sent from God. He's a master anyway. He's a teacher. He knew, and he had heard him. Listen, you can't imagine a little child of grace sitting here and Jesus preach and not be moved by it. You know, you wonder, why did they just get up and go? Why did they just follow? You ever thought about that? I know Jesus could have come and just said, come and follow me, and it would just have been done. I don't believe he'd have been. I know one day he's going to shout, and everybody who's dead in the grave is going to hear. Marvel not at this, because his voice is going to awaken the dead, and there's going to be a resurrection, both of the just and the unjust, a bodily resurrection. And he won't have any. He won't be asking, would you please help me? Would you please take the first step and I'll raise you again? No, he'll speak to those dead bodies, and the graves will open, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And he does that same thing in our lives. I've seen him do it. Haven't you? I've seen men and women who just didn't have a thought of the Lord in their life, and all of a sudden something happens as that hymn 98 in our little books we sang this morning, he touched me and now nothing is the same. My entire life is different. My talk is different. My thinking is different. Oh, there's an old man in me, an old sinful man in me, an old sinful woman, if you will, in me that I need. If you be that, I've got to watch how you say that in this day and age. Listen. There's an old sinful man in you, dear sisters. There's a sinful woman in you that we have to say, get behind me. We have to keep under subjection. Put off the old man, the old woman with her deeds and his deeds, and put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus. There's a battle that we have to battle in our lives. Be thankful you have that warfare going on. Sometimes I get tired of battling, but I'm so thankful there's a battle. You get up on a morning like this and you go like, you know, it sure would be easy just to roll over and stay in the bed today. It's a nice day. Been working hard all week. And I could rest. Can I say to you, when we neglect the house of God and the feeding we get from God's word, there are consequences for that behavior that we sometimes have no clue about. till we really get into the troubles of this world and wonder, why don't I have something to lean on? Why don't I have something to feed? Listen, you need the strength that comes from the teaching of God's Word. You need it. You need, just as you need food to keep you going through the days, you got to eat. You got to stop and eat. If you try to go and don't eat, you're gonna get weak. You got to have something to eat. I'm telling you, in this old wicked world, you and I need spiritual food. We need it in our life. It affects you. It'll help you. And when the lack thereof will hinder you and hurt you. By the way, he's called us to that. Whether we understand it or not, he's called us to put him before anything else in our life. Our service to him, our study of his word, our prayer life with him, our fellowship among the brethren, our duty and responsibility in his church, our duty and responsibility unto the children of God. He says we're to love him above mother and father. And not only, he said our love for him should be comparatively as hate. We should, if we don't hate our mother and our father and our children, and that doesn't mean you hate your children. It means when you think about your love to God, it's so exceedingly above any other love. By the way, if you love him like that, you'll love your children better and you love your wife better. Wives, you know how to treat your husband if you know about that. And husbands, you'll know how to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what the Lord said to do. That's how you're supposed to do that. Without him teaching us that, we don't know anything about that. It's certainly not our nature, is it? I don't want to talk too much about that, but you know what our nature is in regard to that. Anyway, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Have taken nothing. We haven't caught a thing. Nevertheless, oh, I love this. At thy word, I will let down the net. Brethren, can we say that today? Lord, I may be labored at this. I've been praying. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll just keep on praying. Nevertheless, what you say, I'll do. The hymn writer says, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. May we be committed to that. That where he leads me, I will follow. What he says for me to do, I want to do. As much as in me is. He's called me to preach the gospel. I hope I can say with the Apostle Paul, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach to you that be in Rome also. Because this good news is the message that he has given us to declare that feeds the little lambs and the little sheep of God. And that's what Peter was called to do. He said, do you love me, Peter? You feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? More than these, more than anything else, you feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Then you live for me, honor me, glorify me. Because one day, this little time world is going to be over. Y'all got that? We're not here always. Sometimes I get the idea, and it seems like, you know, we want to stay here as long as we can. We try to do that, but I'm telling you, at its longest, it's just a little span. It's a puff of smoke. It's here just for a little while. One day we're going to be at home with the Lord. And while we're here in this world, let us live every single day the best we can. You say, well, I've messed up in the past. So did Peter. So have I. And we all have come short. But it's not about what we have done. It's about where are we right now. I want to live today in a way the best I can to honor him. And the Bible says to do that as early as you can. Remember thou thy creator in the days of thy youth. Somebody gets the idea that just doing this is for the older folks. You know, when I get a little older, then I'll once I have my good time in this world, and once I, you know, go out and do my thing, and then I'll settle down, and once I settle down, then I'll start thinking about the Lord. Can I say to you, today is the day of salvation. And I'm not talking about how you get, y'all know I'm not talking about how you get to heaven. I'm talking about how you find joy and rest and peace as a young person in this world. How you find joy, rest, and peace in the middle ages of your life in this world. Or how in the twilight years of your life, you'll find joy and rest and peace. Listen, our joy is in Jesus, our rest is in Jesus, and our peace is in Jesus, whether you're 6 or 100. And outside of him, there is no rest. It's all just puff and huff and vanity and emptiness. And Simon was about to be called from the nets of emptiness unto be a fisher of men. What a glorious life. And you know what that life led him to? Dying on a cross like his Savior. Because Jesus in John 21 says they're going to take you where you would not go, and they're going to do to you what you would that which you would have not done. And in that he prophesied of him about his death, that you are going to die. You are going to be blessed so much, Simon, that you're going to be called on to die for my namesake. Said preachers in 2014 might tell others it's worth dying for. And when Peter died, I don't know about it, how horrible his death was, but I can't imagine dying on a cross like our Savior would have been. And all the disciples, for the most part, all of them suffered great, great persecution and were martyrs for the cause. They died and shed their blood for the cause. But I'm telling you, every one of them were just like Brother Stephen. When the stones hit his body, he saw the Lord standing on the right hand of the Father, and he saw him in such a glorious way, and he just went to sleep. What a blessing. He saw Jesus. He said, "Behold, I see Jesus standing." That doesn't sound like a bad way to die at all, does it? To see him standing, saying, "Come, come on home." He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and the net break. Now they've been, where did those fish come from? I talked a little bit yesterday at Old Mill about John 21, which is another time and another occasion in the life of Brother Peter that he was made to remember this account. And there was 153 fishes in the net. And there was a great number of fishes that the net ought to break, but the net didn't break. Here that there is a there nevertheless at thy word I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. I just love to think about the Lord directing those fish. They were not in the net. They were not there. They've been there before. They've been fishing. They're not there. But now the net goes down at the word of Jesus. And I'm telling you, the one who made the fish directed the fish. Y'all believe we got a God who's directing things in this world? You believe he can open doors for you that need to be opened? You believe he shuts doors that need to be closed? Isn't he doing that all the time? Isn't that what Psalm 139 is about? From the very moment you conceived in your mother's womb till you leave this world, God's mighty hand is on your life and directing you and being with you. And doesn't that make a difference on how you live every day? When you remember it, when I don't remember it, I'm just right out there toiling away, just like everybody else. Oh, brethren, as God's little children, we need to be mindful of this great God who is with us, even unto death. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners. And guess who they were? Who are the partners? Well, not only did this happen to Simon and Andrew, but we read about them. There's James and John, right? And here's their partners. They were on the shore, and their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Listen, we got some fish out here. They've been out there all night long. They've taken up there, but we got so many fish. The net's breaking. Would you get out here? And there's James and John, and they came and filled. Listen, they didn't just fill one ship. They filled both ships. They didn't just fill both ships. Those both ships began to sink. Can you just get that sight? Listen, this isn't written in the Word of God for no reason. It is for us to see and envision. He filled their ship so that the ships began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, I love the response of Simon Peter, because you know what he saw? He didn't just see a boat. If he'd have just seen the fishes on the ship, he'd have gone, "Ooh, isn't that a bunch of fish?" If that's all he had saw. He saw God's mighty hand. He saw what only faith could allow him to see. His sight just seen a bunch of somebody without faith would have said, "Boy, that's a good trick. Isn't that a good trick?" I'll tell you what he saw. He saw more than a trick. He saw by faith the work of the Son of God. He saw by faith the work of the Messiah. He saw by faith the words what Jesus had taught and preached in his heart. And he understood this man is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the Redeemer that was promised. This is the Savior. This is the Lamb of God. Just like John the Baptist saw him. Others saw him and despised him. John saw him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me." Now, don't get this wrong. He didn't say, "Get away from me. I don't want to be near you." He wasn't saying that. He was saying, "Lord, I'm so unworthy." Have you felt like that at times, especially when the preaching's real good and you see him high and lifted up? You go like, "Oh, I don't have a right to be here. Lord, I've messed up all week. I've sinned and come short of thy glory and thy grace. And I don't deserve to hear preaching. I don't deserve the fellow." We had a communion service there yesterday and we talked about the blood and the body of the Lord. And I felt in my heart, I don't deserve to have a part in this. In me, I know I have no right but to be cast away. And that's the humble, contrite spirit that's in a little child of grace. Do you feel that? Can I say to you, because you feel that, you've been made accepted, not because of that, but it's evidence that you've been made accepted in the Beloved. And you are the very one that he calls to him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And I don't, you know, how many times have I messed up? How many times have we messed up? It's a wonderful thing when you have family and loved ones that, a dear wife that you mess up over and over again, you can come say, "I'm sorry," and she still forgives you. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm telling you, that's nothing like having a Savior who knows everything that's wrong with you, even what's going on in your mind. And not only did he say, "It's all right, I forgive you," he came and died for you so that you would not suffer the penalty and the agony that would have come as a result of your sin. See, God, the righteous God, the Father, would not have been able to have fellowship with us justly had not his Son taken upon himself our sins and removed them from us. And I'm telling you, I believe that's what Simon saw. And he cried out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know, he called him Master. He's calling him more than Master right now. He said, "O Lord." For he was astonished. And all that were with him, at the draught of fishes, which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Whole different calling, isn't it? Whole different walk. He doesn't call everybody to be a preacher, but he calls all of his children to be something. He doesn't call everyone to preach the gospel, but he does call all of his children to live the gospel. He doesn't call you to be necessarily a fisher of men like he did the apostles here, but he certainly called you to live like one of his children, to act and to walk and to talk and to behave like one of his children. And that's the most important calling you have and will ever have in your life. The one you will answer to. See, God will not be mocked. Galatians tells us this. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. There's one, you know, you don't have to. I don't have to answer to you. I do answer to you, but I don't have to. I can get by that table. We always get by one another. You know, sometimes we can just slip around it, don't say anything about it, kind of get around it. Because, you know, we can think things that others don't see. We can do all that. Sometimes we can do it anyway and kind of get around it. Sometimes we got folks near and dear to us that kind of see through us. You know, I'll be sometimes acting like everything's okay and it's not. And somebody will come up to me and say, "What's wrong?" And I'll say, "Well, I'm trying to act like everything's all right." And there's usually people that are really close to you and they can tell you, you know, church folks are like that all the time. "What's wrong? I can see something's wrong." You know, Jesus knows everything. Everything. Isn't that good? And isn't that frightening? It's fearful at the same time. He knows what's going on in me. No wonder Peter fell down and said, "Old sinful man that I am, depart from me, O Lord. I'm a sinful man." And so he says, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What that meant is everything else became secondary. Everything else. Makes life kind of simple. You've been trying to get everything. A lot of times I get really complicated. I'm trying to get this done, that done, this done, trying to get everything. I get things out of order. Y'all ever get things out of order? You know, sometimes I got to get this done, and you got some things you got to get done. But you get things out of order. The number one thing I never need to remember is God's on his throne, and he's loved me, and he can help order my life. And if I remember to love him first and foremost and trust him above everything, he will direct my path. And if I delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me the desires of my heart. If I keep my mind and thoughts upon him, he'll keep me in perfect peace. If I trust in him, keep my thoughts on whatever is pure and lovely and undefiled and the things he's given me, the peace of God shall be with me. And I can just relax. You ever spend a lot of time not just worried to death? And how much help did that do? How's that working for you? Did that get you straight? No. I'm telling you, we have a God who can fill the ship and make it to the point of sinking. And the one who's changed, he's already changed our lives. Do you believe he's able to keep you? I know you do. I know you believe these things. I hope it's helped remember them, though. Makes them more real. Listen, our church meetings need to be more real. We need to see them as important as they are. We need to see them as the most important events we can get to, the most important times that we can have. And come pray and God meet with us and bless us. I need your instruction. I need thy word. I need the food that comes from the Bible. I need these things. Help me hear it. Help me heed it. And then help me go out and live it. So that it isn't just something I hear on Sunday, but no change on Monday. I want to walk different, talk different. Live different. And I messed up a lot in the past. Please forgive me, Lord. Help me to walk better. And you know how often I'm going to have to pray that? Every single day. What a God we have. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. I appreciate your kind attention. Three points.